Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
What is the meaning of born of God? And what is the real significance and the implications and what all is involved in the concept that is presented to us, born of God? I think to understand this, we first need to focus our attention on the word born. One who is born is one who is produced. Therefore, one who is born of God is a product of God. One who is born is first begotten, then generated, then given life and existence by its parent. One born of God, therefore, is begotten of God by and through His Word. The Bible teaches that we are begotten of Him and born of God. We use the phrase many times, born of woman. Simply means here is one who is a product of woman. We use the word born many times figuratively. For instance, we speak of success that is born of poverty. A person may have been brought up in poverty. He has been motivated and prompted to make a financial success of himself, and so his financial success is a product of his poverty. Courage sometimes is born out of fear. Patience is often born of adversity. There are many different uses of the word born. Weakness sometimes is born out of indulgence, just like strength and wisdom is born of experience and of age. Now, in a sense, we are born of God, and in a sense, all people are born of God, physically speaking, in that God created Adam and Eve. And according to God's laws of procreation, we all are descendants of those whom God especially created. People talk about others or talk about people being children of God in a physical sense, because God is creator. Everybody is a child of God. But everybody that's physically a child of God does not mean that everybody spiritually is a child of God. The Bible speaks of those who are children of the devil. So let's focus our attention tonight on a few of the passages where this phrase, born of God, is found. And this being such an important concept in the religion of Jesus Christ, let us try to come to an understanding of what it means, what is involved, what this entails, and what this requires of us. The first passage to which I call your attention is from John, the first chapter. If you have your New Testaments, you might want to turn with me to these various passages. The first chapter of John, verses 11 through 13. The Scripture says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Bible student is aware that Jesus Christ came to this earth and He first took His message to His fleshly people, the Jewish people. You know that they repudiated Him, they rejected Him. This is what the verse means when it says He came to His own and His own received Him not. They refused to acknowledge Him as being the divine Son of God, even though there was all the evidence to point to that. Even those of His own family for a long time did not believe who He claimed to be. But not everybody rejected Christ. Some received Him. Some recognized Him to be the Savior that He claimed to be, both among Jews and also some Gentiles. And those that did receive Him those that did believe that he was who he said he was were given something. They were given power. They were given authority. They were given a privilege, an opportunity. Power to do what? An opportunity to do what? They were given power to become sons of God. Now, just because they believed did not mean that they were a son of God. But when one believes, he's given that opportunity, he has authority, it is now within his power to become a son of God. Of course, he exercises that power and he takes advantage of that opportunity by rendering obedience to the things that the Lord teaches him that he must do to be born of God. Now, the children of God are born of God. We can understand that without great elaboration. But as this passage teaches us, one is not born of God by blood relationship. One is not born of God because of fleshly ancestry. And by the way, that struck so hard at the Jewish people who for centuries had relied upon the fact that they were God's chosen people. They were the descendants of Abraham. And by virtue of being of the fleshly descendancy of Abraham, they were looked upon as children of God. And the Israelite nation indeed had a right to look upon themselves as children of God by virtue of that fleshly descendancy. But that's not the way it is with Jesus Christ. One is not born of God now, since the Israelite nation has fulfilled its course, since the new covenant of Jesus Christ has come into being, is not born of God because of who your parents were or were not. The passage also shows us that one is not born of God by the will of man. It's not according to some man's plan, some man's idea, somebody's think-so. One becomes a child of God by the will of God. Now we can see something here that tells us what born of God means. Born of God means that one believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. To be born of God means that one has heard, believed, and obeyed the will of God, by which he becomes a child of God. Now that's the first significance I want us to grasp tonight about this matter of being born of God. And now turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. This is over toward the back of the Scriptures. I'm going to begin reading here with verse 7 and continue through verse 10. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now this, let me pause here and interrupt in this reading. This tells us one of the prime reasons for Jesus Christ coming to this earth. He was manifested, he was demonstrated, he was shown, he was exhibited, if you please. He came on the scene. Why? Because it was his goal, his mission, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the works of the devil are totally evil. The works of the devil are to hold in captivity even such as we are in the bonds of sin, so that our soul will be damned eternally. This is that which our adversary, the devil, seeks to acquire for us. Dear friend, God loved us so, however, he sent his Son. He manifested his Son. His Son came to this earth, and the things that he did was for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. And then the Holy Spirit through John went on to say that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's the way you tell the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. What do they do about sin? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, this passage of Scripture contains some writing that has caused some confusion in the minds of some, because some have thought that this suggested it is impossible for one born of God to sin. And you know, as you just give a superficial reading of this passage, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Sounds like children of God just simply don't sin. It goes on to say he cannot sin because of born of God. And some say that means it's impossible. If you've been born of God, it's impossible for you to sin. It's not teaching that at all. The reason I know it's not teaching that is because the same writer in this very same book in the first chapter has already stated that if we say we have not sinned, we're a liar. So I know, writing to the same people, by the same writer, in the same book, shows, and he's writing to Christian people, that Christian people can and do sin. So I know he is not saying it's impossible to sin, because he's made it too plain already that says we can and do. Well, what does it mean then that he commits not sin? In the language that God chose to write the Bible, which is the Greek language, in the present tense, which this word commit is, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, carries this idea, and it's important that we understand this. It means that he does not keep on committing sin. Before he became a child of God, his life was in sin. He did things that are sinful. But one who is born of God, even though he can sin, it's possible for him to sin, and sometimes does sin, he does not keep on living a sinful life. Certainly not as he did before, and not as a child that's been born of God. Well, what does it mean here that he cannot sin? Doesn't cannot mean impossible? Well, now you just think how sometimes you use the word. You use the word cannot, and it does not mean impossible. Brother Starkey, come on over to my house and let's have supper. Oh, I cannot come. What do you mean he cannot come? Well, he's already got an obligation to get a better meal and a better house or something. And therefore he says he cannot come. Now, it's not impossible for Donnie to come, but it would be inconsistent with other arrangements and plans that he already has. It would be incompatible with the things to which he's already committed for him on that occasion to come to my house. It didn't mean impossible. It means that it's inconsistent to do so. It's incompatible to do so. He said, I want you to do this or that. Oh, I can't do that. Now, it doesn't mean you can't physically do it. It means that you can't do it, not with a good conscience. Your convictions would not allow you to do it. Oh, yes, it would be possible for you to do that. I want you to come with me and take this pistol and go down to the city bank and stick up that bank. Why, that's not impossible for you to do that. I hope they don't do it at Citibank, but they do it at a lot of other banks, don't they? It's not impossible for anybody that's crazy enough to do it. But for a Christian, he says, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? That's very inconsistent with my commitment in life. That's just out of harmony everything that I believe and hold dear. It is just incompatible with that to which I've committed my life. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we learn here something about those who are born of God. Those who are born of God, yes, they can sin. But they won't keep on sinning, because it would not be compatible with their new life as a child of God for them to continue to live in sin. It would be such a violation of their convictions and their conscience that it would just be prohibitive for them to do that. One who is born of God then not only believes in Christ as the Son of God, not only has become a child of God by obedience to the will of God, he is one that lives a life consistent with being a child of God and following after the ways of his Father. And then he suggests in the latter part of that passage what we want to emphasize in our next passage in 1 John chapter 4, again beginning with verse 7 and reading through verse 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. There's our phrase again. And knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Now focus the attention here upon loving one another. A few weeks ago, Brother Ray Weddington, in a very spur-of-the-moment lesson, had a lesson where he gave great emphasis, very biblically so, on loving one another. This is a characteristic of those people who are children of God. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How is that? That ye love one another. Those who are born into the family of God have this disposition toward each other. And as we have mentioned many times, the word love simply means seeking the other's highest good. When you love me, you will seek my highest good. When I love you, I will seek your highest good. Whatever that calls for, whatever that demands, whatever sacrifice that might mean, I seek what is in your best spiritual interest, or in fact, all of your interest, at all times. When you love somebody, that's what you do. When you love your children, you seek that which is of highest benefit to them. Now, my dear people, in this brief passage that I read to you here from 1 John 4, where he places it all in the context of born of God, 12 times he emphasizes the thought of love. Now, there just is absolutely no way for one to claim being born of God that is not busily engaged in developing this quality of heart. What is it that we love? Well, we love what God loves. We love who God loves. Just like we hate what God hates. And God never hates people. He hates things that people do. But he loves people. We love truth. We love his word. We love our brethren. We love the lost. We love our friends and our family. All of those things fall into the realm of loving God. And why do we love? Why do we love God? Friend, that love didn't originate with us. It originated with God. We love God because God is love. He's the source of love. And we love him in response to the fact that he first loved us. Why, the whole Christian faith is based on love. Do you ever stop thinking about that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, if it hadn't been for the love of God, there wouldn't be any such thing as New Testament Christianity. And if there wasn't New Testament Christianity, there would be no hope for any of us to escape the fires of hell and enjoy the glories of heaven. It's all founded upon the fact that God loved man. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, look how he demonstrated that love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And our Lord even went a step further than that by laying down his life for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5. So Christians are to love. Like David, we're to love the truth. David once said, oh, how love I thy law. And you know, brethren, when we truly love the will, the law, the message of God, we're going to be found in its company. We're going to be studying it. We're going to be searching it. We're going to be reading at home. We're going to be in opportunities and environments wherein we can learn what those things of the Word of God teach us. That's a mark of loving God. We love that which is divine. The greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. and thy neighbor as thyself, and we love our brethren. Peter taught us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 to love the brotherhood. And one who is lacking in this kind of concern and love, there's something amiss in his life. He's not acting like a child of God. Because being born of God means to have faith in Christ. Being born of God means to be obedient to the will of the Lord. Being born of God means that you do not keep on living a life of sin. Being born of God means that you love those things that God loves. Now we're beginning to get more and more a concept of what all is involved, I should hope, as to the significance of born of God. Let me cite another. Again from the writings of John. 1 John chapter 2. 28:29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So those born of God do not only refrain from continuing to commit sin, which is the negative side of Christianity. There's the positive side of Christianity. They do the things that God calls righteous. You not only don't do what God says is wrong, you do the things that God says we ought to do. That's a part of being born of God. The emphasis here seems to be upon something to do. Being a Christian requires action, activity on our part, service, work. And one of the most fearful teachings of the Bible that should be to those of us who profess to be Christians is James 4 and verse 17. And I'll just have to start with that verse, and you will know in your own mind the rest of it. To him that knoweth to do good, to him it is sin. This may well be, brethren, the downfall of many of us. We're born of God. We believe in Christ. We're born of God by His will. We're born of God by not keeping on committing sin and a life of sin. What about the doing of the good that God would have us to do? And the failure to do that. That too is a transgression of the will of God. You see, Christianity is not just a passive religion. It's not just something that is negative. It is active. It is aggressive. It calls for our energies and our efforts. Now it says, those born of God do righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Well, the psalmist tells us in Psalms 119, verse 172, let my tongue sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Now here's a definition of righteousness. I suppose the most abbreviated, concise definition of righteousness is simply right doing. Well, how do we know what is right doing? Why, that's by and through the commandments of God. That's how we know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. All thy commandments, that's what makes up the totality of righteousness. The righteousness of God does not refer here to an attribute of God. It is the righteousness that men are to follow by as they are obedient to the commandments of God. And as I said before, there are things that we are to do. Partaking of the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. That's something we are to do. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's something we are to do. Doing good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. That's something that we do. Now, not to lie, not to steal, not to murder, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Those are some of the negative commandments. Being born of God, doing righteousness, it makes it possible for us to be acceptable with God. Now, that's the highest goal that we have in life, is it not? To be right with God. Peter said at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 34-35, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and doeth righteousness is accepted with him. Well, those that do righteousness, that's the characteristic of those who are born of God. Let me summarize what we've learned thus far, and then one other point, and the lesson is yours for tonight. What is the significance of the phrase, born of God? Well, it means to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's not all of it, but that's involved in it. It means that you have become a child of God by virtue of your faith. You've been given power to become the sons of God, and that is in conformity with and obedience to the will of God. It means that having become a child of God, you will no longer walk in the ways of transgression and sin and disgrace. But it'll also mean that you've undertaken the responsibility of doing that which is right and good before God. Now, to be born of God, of course, means that we're born into His family. Immediately it brings to our attention the teaching of Jesus to Nicodemus, as is in your Bible, in John the 3rd chapter. Where Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, there he describes what it is to be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. One is born of the Spirit as he obeys the teachings that the Spirit has given. He is born of water as he obeys the Lord, being a product of water, born of water, that's what it means. He's encompassed in water. He comes forth from that water. He's born of water. That's the new birth. And when one is born, he is a child in the family. Paul told the Corinthians that he had begotten them by the gospel. The seed that was planted that produced the new birth is the gospel, the truth. It's preached. It's heard. And people properly respond to it. And then as they respond to it, they're born of God. And whose children are they? Why, they are children of God. Now, I want to read to you in 1 John chapter 5, the first 5 verses, what might be looked upon as a brief yet somewhat complete summary of everything I've tried to say tonight about the significance and the meaning of born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God. Now pause right here. He's already spoken pretty much of all the things that we've said before. Now he points to the great benefit, the great blessing that is ours by virtue of the fact that we're born of God. Notice it closely. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Dear friend, there is no way to have the spiritual victory that God offers unto us unless we are born of God. But those who are born of God, we have God's own assurance. This world will not defeat us. This world with all its sin and strife and misery and temptation cannot defeat us. We can be victors over all of that which would otherwise destroy us. We can encounter whatever comes in life. And if we will stay faithful as children of God, the victory is ours by virtue of God's own assurance of that. I hope as we look at these phrases where born of God is used in Scripture that we might tonight have a little bit better impression as to what a wonderful concept this is in the Christian religion and what it gives unto us and what it requires of us. And I think it's appropriate that we close this lesson tonight, that we beg of you, plead with you, to exercise your own volition and willpower to be born of God. The gospel has been preached. The seed has been sown. God has made us of such creatures and of such nature that we have to accept what He has taught. He has said, you can be my child. If you are born, you can be my child. and look at all the glorious implications of being born of God, you'll see that the advantage and benefit is yours. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you will repent of sins and confess that faith, if you will be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, that's what it is to be born of God. And then as you live as a child of God, exhibit these other characteristics that belong to those who are born of God.